Hello, Automotive Trends readers and listeners. You're joining the regular crew tonight, but on location in the Motor City for the big 2011 North American International Auto Show.
Special edition.
Yes. Kicking off tomorrow. We're here getting everything set up the night before. We've set up the mobile command center. It's very impressive. You should all be here eating pizza and drinking root beer with us. But in the meantime, we're going to do our best to bring you the show coverage as it happens tomorrow. But we wanted to sit around tonight and discuss briefly our predictions for the North American Car of the Year and the North American Truck of the Year. Of course, that's announced tomorrow morning to kick off the show. So in our last podcast, we had all put down our finalist guesses for the top three of each of those. And now, of course, we know the finalists, but tonight I think we will...
And we must say that Editor Grenand was the big winner on that front.
That's
as
right.
He guessed all three for both categories.
He nailed it. He's got insider connections, that guy. He's uncharacteristically quiet, too.
Well, it's just possible that I'm just that savvy.
Yeah. He's clairvoyant, what can we say?
But or just that lucky.
Just that lucky, yeah. So how are we going to do this? Let's talk Car of the Year first.
Okay.
So we're going to commit right now to what we think Car of the Year will be. And
is it what we think it will be or what we think it should
no,
be?
No, what we think it will be. Mm-hmm. What we think they are going to announce tomorrow and hand the trophy over.
Okay.
And I think I will be bold enough to go out. I think it's kind of a runaway race this year. I don't know. There could be a surprise, but I'm going to go with the Chevy Bolt. It's just garnering too much press and attention and award. And, you know, the technology significance is there. I don't think they'll pass it up this year. I think they're going to reward GM for being the first with this concept.
Yeah, and I'm just going to have to echo that one. The Leaf is impressive, yes, but as we've talked before, yeah, it's limited. You got the range anxiety. It's not a game changer. It's more of what we come to expect from a electric car. Whereas the Sonata is a great car in itself, but again, it's not a game changer. So that's I'm going with the Volt.
I agree with the Volt. That was going to be my prediction as well. And I think the Sonata in a normal year probably would have. Probably put it up high, but going up against the Volt and the Leaf, it's a great car, but it's not a game changer. And I don't vote for the Leaf because I don't see it as advancing the electric car far enough to change people's perceptions about it as being feasible for mass audiences. The Volt, anybody could drive that car anywhere, you know.
Cross country.
Yeah. But the Leaf, you're stuck. That car will never leave the county that it sold in. Because when you run out of electricity, you can't go put 5 gallons of electricity in it.
Very long extension cords.
Yeah. I think we're all on the same page with Car of the Year.
Well, what if someone does the Hummer or something have a plug-in,
one of the 110?
Could you plug that into the back of it and then just drive that in front of your Leaf?
Yeah.
I think Lutz was asked that about something or other, probably about the Volt
that's
at one point.
That's kind of
time.
What I'm thinking of.
He had a real hard time answering that one because he knew any soundbite that he gave would be used against him.
It cannot turn out well.
So that's what Nissan needs to do. They just need to equip
the Armada.
The Armada or the
QX56.
Or the Titan.
You're well off.
The QX56. Yeah, just equip it right in the back bumper. Yeah,
maybe that would help them sell more than 3 Titans next year.
Yeah. It'd be like having a dinghy for your boat. It'd be like a lifeboat.
I see.
Yeah, you get another emergency 100 miles when your Titan breaks down. All right, let's move it on to our predictions for Truck of the Year. And I will go again, I guess, first. This is a closer race, I think, this year. But I think the Ford Explorer will win tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Ford Explorer also, primarily because that one is the biggest game changer of the three of them. Whereas the Grand Cherokee has been on a unibody platform for
1993.
Yeah, exactly. The Durango, it's coming off of a truck platform-ish kind of thing. I guess we don't know what the second gen was really based off of, but
no, it was based on the Dakota.
Oh, okay, so
variation of the Dakota.
So yeah, that's on but I don't know. The Durango's more or less just a lengthened Grand Cherokee, a very good platform. I just don't see it as the big winner that an all new, fresh from the ground up Explorer is going to be. Well, I mean, as fresh as a Taurus based, S80 based.
So car essentially, platform. What Ford is introducing is the Freestyle and the Taurus X with the Explorer badge and some good updates to make it more competitive.
Yeah, something like that.
Which is why I'm not voting for it. I'm saying it's going to be Dakota or Durango, because there's a lot of things that are going to change people's perception of the Explorer, but I think when you get right down to it, I don't think it's as good of a vehicle as the Durango. And so even though they've only got the V6 and V8 powertrains in the Durango, the fuel economy that Ford is likely to get out of that four-cylinder Explorer, I don't think is going to be head and shoulders above the V6 in the Durango. So I don't know. I won't be shocked to see the Explorer win, but I guess I'm kind of holding out that maybe the Durango will.
Yeah, I don't remember. Do we get to see the vote?
I think it's going to be close either way.
If we get to see. Do we get to see the? I think we get to see the vote final tally at the end. I wouldn't be surprised if the Truck of the Year was pretty well split. I think they're all well.
I think they're all deserving.
You know what? I will say, I will say that if I end up being wrong, it's going to be because the votes are going to be split between Durango and Cherokee, and I think that's going to hurt it. Because they're the same platform, and so you'll have some. If there's journalists who felt that that the Cherokee and Durango platform are better than the Explorer, if there are many, I don't know, then some of them are going to go with Cherokee. Because of the market segment that it competes in, some of them are going to go with Durango, and therefore you'll split your votes, and you know it'll be like when Clinton was elected. You know, you had Perot stealing votes from Bush.
Hanging Chads.
No, that was a different
Al Gore.
Oh my
gosh,
that's a different decade.
No, those are all good vehicles, and you know they've all got their selling points. I think the Explorers. Well, I think the Grand Cherokee had the majority of 2010, is this year. The spotlight was really on it, and I think towards the end of the year that was changing over to Explorer. And then Durango hasn't really seemed to make a huge blip on anyone's radar yet.
It's not
showing up in, you know, a lot of press, but I think it will, and I think it will be well received, and, you know, certainly I like the looks of it and everything so far, so. But we'll see. But the Explorer does have, I think, the significance factor as far as the change for the fairly thorough reimagining of the vehicle for a more modern age with the downsized power plants and all of this kind of stuff. So we'll see how it all shakes out tomorrow. But at least we have a point of contention to see what comes out. Because it would have been boring if we'd all said the same thing.
Unless we all ended up being wrong.
Yeah,
we all agree and we're all wrong.
And somebody has to eat their shoe when Sonata wins tomorrow.
We just delete this podcast.
Yeah.
Where did that file go?
Like, never happened.
And on the truck, what's going to happen is it's going to be Cherokee since...
since we're all wrong. Well, at least there's no Transit Connect to slip in there.
Oh, craziness.
Yeah.
No, they're all three finalists, car and truck side, I could see winning for different reasons this year as opposed to past years.
Yeah,
so,
none of them would be preposterous to win.
So that's about it, I guess, on that front. We did want to talk a little bit. We're seeing, you know, a few things pop up today, as we always do, early reveals. I guess the most significant of which is probably the Volkswagen announced its going to be U.S. built, midsize sedan, which had been codenamed NMS all this time, and we thought maybe they'd come up with some brand new, exciting name. Well, they announced today at the 11th hour that it's going to be called a Passat. So I hope you were all sitting down for that, because I know that's a a big shocker for us. But anyway, the 2012 Passat had some pictures released today, and I gotta say, out of the box, we're probably underwhelmed with that. Again, this looks like a larger Jetta, and we're not exactly thrilled with the direction the Jetta's going.
Keeping of boring is
well,
what it looks like.
I'll say this though, I think that the proportions of the previous Passat, not the Passat CC, but the previous Passat, were a little bit awkward. This is not. This is not at all. It's not a dramatic car, but it's kind of like a toned down Audi, you know.
Yeah, I could see it. It is very toned down Audi, but it's got a bit of like Honda Accord front end, and it's just
screams. Oh, it's not that bad.
Well,
the last
Jetta looked like a German Corolla. This isn't that bad.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's hard to describe it as anything exciting, I guess. No. But Volkswagen has these very ambitious sales goals, and whether or not boring cars of different sizes will do the trick, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I am very disappointed, actually, that one of our all-time modern favorite engines, the 2.0 turbo four-cylinder gas engine, does not look like it's going to be offered initially at all. I'm a little happy to see, actually I'm a lot happy to see the 2-liter diesel, which they're saying could return 43 miles per gallon highway, so I like to see that option. But considering the base engine is the 2.5-liter five-cylinder, which is not exactly our all-time favorite modern engine.
No, I could stand to see that be let out to the pasture.
But Volkswagen is apparently trying very hard to get the base price under $20,000, which is a huge reduction from the current Passat, which starts literally at, 27. Right in there. So we're talking a significant repositioning down market of the Passat, but they're going for things Americans like, which is a roomy cabin, a lot of rear leg room.
Going for efficiency.
We can even get a whole dash full of fake wood if you want. So, so that'll make you feel right at home, as you. I don't know. We'll see what it looks like tomorrow in the metal, as they say.
A couple of other things we're going to be watching for, the 300 Chrysler. We're finally going to get to actually spend a little time with the Chrysler 300. Mini's got a new Paceman concept, which more or less looks like a new Mini Cooper.
Isn't the Paceman a two-door Clubman?
That's
what the concept is, but it seems like it's kind of hinting towards the new Cooper,
refresh on the Cooper, but I don't know, elements. We'll see what they say tomorrow, whether this is heading towards a new model, because we've already previously seen as straight as a Mini Coupe could be, a two-door coupe, so are they really going to split hairs so much as to offer this kind of vehicle with the more sporting coupe, or is this just a design exercise to show a facelifted Mini front and rear end, or what, so... We'll look for clues on that tomorrow. I think the bigger news this week, we haven't had time to talk about it yet, really, at least not with Eric in the room, is the 2012 Buick Verano. We saw pictures of that. I think actually quite attractive car outside, but really a really winning-looking interior that is differentiated enough from the Cruze that it's based on, I think, to warrant, the premium that they'll probably charge for this car. So I want to see that one up close, too. But, well, we got Eric here. We should see what he's thought of that. He's a passionate Buick fan.
Yeah, well, we've seen this car previously, at least those of us who have tried to decipher our way through the Buick of China website, as the Excel, and thought it looked sharp there. I think these pictures prove to... That it looks pretty sharp here as well. It looks sufficiently different from a Cruze. What I don't like is the dual A pillars. That's a shame. The proportions are just a little bit off to require that.
The proportions seem really kind of funky with the straight-on profile image that we have on here. It's just, the deck lid doesn't quite line up, or I don't know.
Yeah, this isn't as good-looking as the Regal, but... I don't know. I don't think it's bad looking for the class.
Oh, no.
In. I do wonder, though, if Buick will have the foresight to offer a manual transmission in it like they do with the Regal. It seems logical with the Regal getting a manual, but...
I was excited that they said that there would be future availability of the 2.0 turbo, so that's giving us a little hope for a little more power down the line, because this does launch with the 2.4 liter, which is, you know, might do a little better in this smaller, lighter car, but not a very lively engine.
Not one of our favorite
and
engines.
And this car really isn't that much smaller than the Regal. They're saying it's only less than 2 inches shorter than the Regal. So,
you know, I do wonder why Buick is offering this car. Because, or General Motors, I should to clarify, because with the Cruze out there going up market from where the Cobalt was, does Buick really need to come out with a car that's down market from the Regal? I don't know. It seems like a little bit of overlap. On the other hand, if it's a car that's already engineered and styled and everything in China, maybe federalizing it was simple enough. And here we were able to get just more choices. But I don't know. At least it's not the minimal difference that the G5 and the Cobalt were from each other.
Don't bring that nightmare back on.
So the Cruze and the Verano clearly can't be mistaken for each other.
No.
If Buick was going to throw us a little bit of a surprise tomorrow, though, I would love to see what they're planning for their baby Enclave small crossover, because I don't know, I'm really liking the front ends of all these modern Buicks. I think they're pretty attractive and nicely upscale, so I don't know, as big a fan as I am as the Enclave, I wish they'd show us that vehicle, and I'm hoping for good things there too, but I don't know, we'll see tomorrow. And I don't know, is there anything else, I guess, that we're... There's a couple of things. Honda's supposed to show a new Civic. We haven't seen anything on that yet. So if that is the case, that will be that'll be a surprise. So we'll be up for that. But
possibly a new Escape from Ford.
Yeah, we should see a new Ford Escape.
It's going to be either straight Kuga from Europe, or shared with the Kuga, or I don't know, would they replace the name?
I'm not a fan of the Kuga name, but I don't know. We'll see about that tomorrow too. But no previous leaks on that. So. Bit of a surprise there. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like anything from Cadillac on the docket, which disappoints me a little. I wanted to see what the latest and greatest is there, but I guess we will update you tomorrow as it happens. So you'll have to check back tomorrow evening for our as our coverage rolls out, and maybe, who knows, maybe we'll even get back behind the microphone and chat about what we saw on the first day of the press preview. So join us then for more coverage, and in the meantime, keep reading everything automotive.
Good night and God bless.